Today's Old Testament lesson comes from Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion, and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament lesson comes from Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may be one voice, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. Christ, the hope of the Jews and Gentiles. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to the rule of Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. I know we just sang it, but I'm going to read for you stanza one as a start to our sermon of what we just sang from Comfort, Comfort, Ye My People. Comfort, comfort, ye my people. Speak ye peace, thus saith our God. Comfort those who sit in darkness, mourning neath their sorrow's load. Speak ye to Jerusalem of the peace that waits for them. Tell her that her sins I cover, and her warfare now is over. Well, that sure sounds nice and peaceful. Warfare being over. Well, clearly this prophecy and this song has already occurred. There's certainly not been in warfare in or around Jerusalem or amongst God's people. Not at all. Not in the last, 2,000 years, right? No jokes. Okay, too soon, I suppose. This is a comfort and a peace that we just sang about that God has to offer to his people that is different than an earthly comfort and an earthly peace. It's a comfort that he's spoken to us time and time again throughout his word. We get it specifically in Isaiah chapter 11 today. We get to hear a wonderful vision of what peace will look like on God's holy mountain. Last week in Isaiah, we talked about flowing up towards God's holy mountain, where he continues to draw us and all people through all time and from all nations, people who have seen the light of Jesus and are drawn to it. We thank him that he's filled us with his Holy Spirit to draw us to that peace and that comfort and that light that was just talked about for us in our children's lesson. I have to say, though, Marty, great opportunity missed by you and me today. We had John the Baptist. I could have talked about John the Baptist instead of Isaiah. One of us should have showed up with honey dripping from their beard, and only one of us has a beard. So I missed out on the opportunity. I apologize. It could have been so much easier to show up looking all messed up and call you all a brood of vipers. No, rather, instead, peace and comfort to you, not you brood of vipers. You who know that there is a comfort and a peace that is great for all people. Today, actually, rather than showing up, again, that would have been my DCE days, looking a little more messed up like that, when I got to do the children's messages. We should switch, no. Instead, though, I get to share with you a really fun and exciting thing in Scripture today that you may have missed out on. For those who already heard my chiasms class that we did, I love finding neat things in God's Word where we get to see a specific point, a middle point that's kind of the center of what God is trying to share with us in his Word, a chiasm being Hebrew poetry. Don't worry, we'll do it again in the future. It'll be exciting. But today, we have a very small little chiasm for us to enjoy, something that points in its center, in its core, to something that is a good and perfect thing for us to learn and to know. In Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 8, we get a little 7-point chiasm. We're right in the middle of it. We get something great. First off, just enough to know a chiasm, this Hebrew poetry, where the middle point is the main thing we should learn from. And also, there happens to be 7 parts to this. You may have heard the number 7 in God's word a few times. It's kind of an important one. It's kind of neat. A full and complete thing, like the full and complete creation that we live in now. So, in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 8, we hear about a peace that is something we've never experienced here on earth. A peace that has not existed since the fall of man and the consequence of sin back in Genesis chapter 3, a peace that only existed in the Garden of Eden when all was right and good, a peace that will exist in the new heaven and the new earth that we look forward to. You see, we see these three examples of peace that just don't make sense to us, with a very important thing right in the middle of it. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the lion and the fattened calf together. Already we're starting off pretty wild here. Predators and prey just living together, laying down and relaxing in peace. It jumps forward and later we hear, the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The cow and the bear shall graze. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. I know I've got five kiddos, and if one of them went down, I'd have four left over, but I'm not going to have any of them put their hand over an adder's den or into the hole of the cobra. Don't do it, guys. Don't test it out. I know which one of you would be willing to try it out, too. These are not things that happen yet. These are things we look forward to. A time when peace will come fully. And yet we live in this peace now for a short time because of the part that I skipped over right in the middle. A little child shall lead them. All of this happens because of a little child that leads those who would be at war with each other to be at peace with each other instead. So that those who would be defeated, destroyed, devoured, would instead be able to be in peace and to rest with those who would be at strife with them. We have comfort and peace because to us a son is given. I've heard that before. There might even be another song about that. In this season of Advent, we thank God that he has sent his son to be our Savior. We thank God that in the past, Jesus Christ has come to pay for all of our sins, so that in the future, all will be at peace. Until then, there is still war and fighting in Jerusalem. Until then, there's still war and fighting amongst all of God's people. There's still persecution throughout the world. We still see predators eating up the prey. We don't get to go just lie down with lions and wolves and bears. Oh my. We don't get to see that peace fully. However, there is a great and exciting peace that you get to enjoy every single day right now. The greatest divide, the greatest amount of wrath to be poured out has already happened. You see, God should be at odds with you and with me. We would be his enemies. You and I should be the ones that are running from God, hiding from him, saying, please don't destroy us. However, because this child is leading us, because his son has been given to us, we don't need to hide in fear from God. You are not at odds with him. You are no longer his enemy. You are his child. You and I, through the cross, through Jesus' death on it for us, do not have to worry about being destroyed by God's anger and his wrath. Jesus, later in the garden, right before his crucifixion, prayed, God, would this cup pass from me? But not my will, but your will be done. The will of the Father is the will of the Son, that the wrath that we deserve would be poured out on him, this cup of wrath poured out over Jesus Christ. In his death, in his suffering, all peace is given to you. Rather than having that cup of God's anger, you get to receive a cup of salvation. When we have bread and wine, when we receive from the cup the blood of Jesus Christ. That for you is a new covenant, a new testament, a promise of God's peace, a promise of his comfort to you. There is nothing that you could do that would ever cause you to now no longer be someone that God loves. He has shown his great love for you in this, that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. His son was given. That little child leads us. That little child that we're going to celebrate when our little wise men will have already reached over there. I don't know if you can see them on here. It's one of my favorite little decorations we have. We have these little white figurines here, the wise men. They've been traveling towards the Christmas tree. It's very exciting. Underneath that star over there. They'll, of course, get there, and they'll see the child that was born for the sins of the whole world. They'll give him great gifts, bowing down before him, because that child would lead all of creation. Jesus Christ leads you and me to our Father in heaven, and he says, you don't need to worry. You do not need to fear God's wrath. He lifts us up and says, comfort, be at peace. You're with me. What a wonderful thing. Here in this little fun chiasm, in the middle of all of that excitement of peace, our peace is found. This little child. Your leader, your Savior Jesus, continues that path that we heard about last week. We heard about God's holy mountain in which we're being drawn up to. It's all throughout Isaiah's prophecy. All through this story, we keep hearing about this child that would lead us to be with our Father, lead us up to his holy mountain, lead us up to that comfort and peace that we look forward to. And just as we heard in the Young Time lesson, we get to be a part of it. We get to be a part of telling people there is a peace, there is a comfort that this world does not have. You can't see it anywhere else except in the person of Jesus Christ. In that Son of God, the child born in a manger by lowly means, who rose up to serve, to teach us God's will, to show us his will, and to give us eternal life. This is not just an Advent season theme. This is a continuing Christian life theme. The Son of God, God himself being born as a little child, is the bringer of peace on earth and goodwill towards all of mankind. That last verse of our Isaiah reading. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Where we find rest with Jesus Christ, where he is in heaven, seated at the throne of God, his feet propped up as a footstool, his enemies underneath his feet, he has fully defeated sin, death, and the devil. Our Savior is there, making a place for eternal peace and eternal rest for us. And not only do we get the joy and privilege of sharing that with other people, we get the privilege of experiencing it every day. We get that peace when God comes to us. He's already come once before. We know that he came as the Christ child. He comes to us each and every day through his Holy Spirit, through this comforter, this counselor that we have. And he comes to us each and every Sunday when we receive his body and his blood. At the end of communion, after we sung all the hymns and you're smelling the bacon come down the hallways and you're wondering, okay, Pastor, let's move it along. I get to say, have this sending at the end of our communion time. I'll say, please rise, and I'll say, let us bless the Lord. You'll say, thanks be to God. We say that because Jesus Christ has come to us. In fact, I'll then say, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. We are so thankful that Jesus Christ has come to us. The light has come to us. And he'll continue to draw us closer to him until he comes again. That child is the one who's leading us to eternal peace and eternal rest. May his peace continue to guard and keep your hearts and your minds in himself to life everlasting. Amen. Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Alleluia. And may God bless you and keep you. May his face, make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.